Today on the podcast, we're going to talk about all the things that can slow labor down and how to make sure that your labor keeps on progressing healthily and happily. Hi, welcome to Happy Healthy Human Radio. I'm your host, Samantha Attard, coming at you from the beautiful Washington, D.C. And on this podcast, I share with you all the things I am learning about and teaching about so we can all find just a little more balance, bliss, and confidence in our everyday. I truly appreciate you being a part of this community, and if you enjoy this podcast, please do subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes, and definitely share with a friend who might enjoy it as well. Thanks so much. So today's podcast, I wanted to talk about the ways to keep labor progressing. It's something we don't often think about, of the fact that labor can slow down, but actually about 25%, one in four cesarean sections are actually performed because of quote unquote failure to progress, i.e. labor that doesn't seem to be getting anywhere. And so this can naturally come up as a pretty big fear, because what you definitely don't want is to be sitting there and contracting and contracting and contracting and then being like, oh, wow, actually, I'm no closer to delivering the baby, and, you know, being there hour after hour after hour. And then suddenly now they're going to make you have a cesarean section. So we definitely don't want that, especially because physiologically, labor should progress once it starts. Physiologically, that is what it is designed to do. But there's a couple of things that get in the way of labor progressing. There's a couple things that can make it more likely that labor will slow down. And again, that's just going to be uncomfortable and potentially result in a cesarean. So let's talk about the ways to actually keep labor moving along. Now, I cannot promise that I'm going to, in this podcast, teach you how to have a 3-hour labor or a 4-hour labor. And in fact, you probably actually don't want a 4-hour labor, especially if this is your first baby. There is evidence to suggest that a longer, slower labor is actually a very good one for both the health of your body as well as for your baby. So know that our goal is not to have a 3-hour labor, but I can help you make sure that your contractions are truly progressive contractions and are helping you get closer to your baby. So, what do we know about how to keep labor moving? Well, if we look to the rest of the animal kingdom, which makes sense, we have been evolved from all these other animals, there's a couple of common themes that happened in their body to keep labor moving. Now, one of the major things is actually darkness. So, darkness helps labor progress. And this is interesting. This is something that I was actually looking up recently, because my last birth I attended back in July, of course, you know, she calls me up. It's 10 p.m. and it's time to go to the hospital. And my fiance says, he says, how come they all go into labor at night? Why is this always happening at nighttime? And so we were doing some research and we saw the relationship between melatonin, our kind of sleep hormone, if you will, and oxytocin, our love hormone that also progresses contractions. So when it is darker, when that melatonin is higher, our oxytocin can flow more and labor can progress more. So actually darkness is really helpful for helping labor progress. Now, if you've ever been in a hospital, you know that the lights are really darn bright. There is a lot of fluorescence happening. It is not great for the skin tone and it is also not great for your labor. So notice when you go into the hospital, drop some of the lights down. You can turn some of them off and down. There's sliders. And actually, even if you basically turn all the lights off, it's still pretty darn bright in there. And so you'll still be able to see your partner, your friends, your doula. It's going to be fine. But as much as possible, lowering the lights is actually going to help your labor continue to move. Another thing that's important for animals when giving labor is quiet. Noise and stimulation isn't always great for contractions and laboring, especially once you start to get into active labor. It is something that actually requires some focus. It's you know, trying to like watch TV to distract yourself might not be the best for your labor. And this is because when we hear noises, it turns our brains on, right? Like when we start to process things auditorially or even visually, which also relates to the darkness, this is turning on the really thinking prefrontal cortex parts of our brains that are trying to make sense of the world around us. And if all of our energy is going to making sense of the world around us, we can't focus on contracting the uterus and actually delivering a baby. So these again are things that come from the animal kingdom that we know that darkness and quietness are really good for helping labor progress. Again, this isn't always the case in a hospital setting. A lot of doctors and nurses will come in and be like, hey, how's it going? In like a nice, like big old loud voice, and actually promoting some quiet and not these big booming noises is going to be really helpful for keeping your labor going. A third part about this is safety and confidence. So if we look to the animal kingdom, they've shown these studies where, for example, a bunny like sits down, a little bunny girl starts to go into labor, and then kind of a fox or something sneaks around nearby. And as soon as that fox comes nearby, I think it's maybe the bunny is smelling it, I think is what it is, literally contractions stop. Contractions stop. Bunny is like, hell no, I'm not putting my baby in this world with the fox. And labor will stop until the fox goes away, and then suddenly, bump, 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 contractions come back again. So in the same way, fear and lack of confidence, a feeling of not being safe, is going to halt labor. And this is one of those reasons why we want to be really prepared when we go in for labor, really understand what are the different phases and stages of labor, what are we going to be feeling, what are the possibilities, because the more we are aware, the more that these things are not unknown, the more confidence we feel in our bodies and in what we're doing, and the less likely we are to have labor stall because of fear or lack of confidence. So again, if you had no clue what labor was like and you weren't even expecting contractions, let's pretend you live in this dream world where you didn't even think you were gonna feel anything. You just thought, I don't know, baby miraculously popped out and suddenly you started feeling contractions. Well, that would be really scary. And for basically everyone, we've never felt contractions before, right? Like there's no how to birth a baby class in school where you can like simulate how it feels. It is a completely new experience. And if you look at that experience and you say, oh my gosh, something must be wrong, that's going to hurt the progress of labor. Whereas if you're like, okay, I'm feeling contractions, but I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I know that this is my uterus contracting both laterally and vertically so that it's shortening the uterus and closing in around the baby, and the baby is moving and I am helping it descend so that it can be birthed. Like that's going to be a very different brain space, and that's going to help your labors continue. Like I mentioned, if we want labor, when we talked about darkness, we talked about melatonin and oxytocin. So we need oxytocin for our contractions. So if you've heard about induction, people talk about Pitocin, which is actually synthetic oxytocin. And this Pitocin causes contractions in your uterus. Same deal. Your natural oxytocin is going to cause your contractions and allow labor to keep on going. So think about this, because usually we think of contractions as this bad thing, right? Like, oh gosh, it's painful, it's hard, I don't know. But actually our contractions are coming from love hormone. So basically the more love you have, the more contractions happen, the more baby moves. So it's a really funny thing because you're like, okay, wait, how am I supposed to be really happy in this place where I'm kind of uncomfortable? But that's actually what we're looking for. So the more that you can develop oxytocin, the better your labor will continue to progress. And this can be lots of things. This is a great time for your partner, if you have one, to like sit and whisper in your ear why you're so cool. This is a great time to think about how excited you are for your baby. This is the time to think about, you know, the people you love in your life, your family. You know, if you have siblings and maybe you remember your sibling when they were young, or a niece or nephew, or just any babies you've ever known. Like, this is the time to think about all of the things that fill you up and make you feel happy about the world. You know, maybe it's oxytocin of like, oh my gosh, soon I'm going to be able to go running again. Or maybe it's an oxytocin of, oh my gosh, like I'm excited for this vacation, or for Christmas, or to go to Disney World, or whatever it is that makes you feel full of a little love. That's what we want to promote, and that's what we want to bring around. So use the people around you, photos, anything that's going to bring some feeling of well-being and happiness. That's going to help promote your labor once again. It's crazy, isn't it? But it is so cool that that is how our body works. So a little more love equals a little more contractions. The last one I want to mention is to please remember to keep drinking water. They give you Jell-O, ginger ale. If you're in a birthing center or at home, you're allowed to eat freely during labor. It's really unfortunate that in hospitals right now, they tell you not to eat during labor. This is an old standby because years ago, like 40, 50 years ago, a lot of women would be under general anesthesia for labor. Crazy. Like, so they'd be basically knocked out for labor. And as a result, they didn't want any food in your stomach as if you were going in for a surgery. But this is very low risk and very low probability of this happening. So a lot of hospitals still, though, say you can only drink clear liquids and have things like Jell-O or popsicles. And, you know, even though Jell-O is not my favorite food, I wouldn't say it's like super high on the healthy food chain. If these are the only options available for you, go for it. Do it. Sugar and hydration is going to be a friend here because you're doing some really hard physical labor, right? Imagine you were running a marathon and you were not allowed to drink anything or have any sugar. Like, that would kind of stink. You wouldn't be able to put your all into things. And in fact, your muscles might stop contracting because you're simply feeling weak. So what we want to do, and again, this is not like you have to drink, you have to do this because we don't want to overhydrate either, but please remember that just because they say the stuff about no eating and drinking doesn't mean that you should be expected to not eat or drink, right? So know that physiologically, you're gonna feel great if when you feel thirsty, you drink some water. If you do actually even attempt to have it as some sort of sugar water again, whether that is a ginger ale or I would bring like my own kind of fruit juices from home, or Jell-O, or just something that's going to have a little bit of sugar in it to keep your body working, especially depending on how long your labor's been. You don't want everything to stop because of fatigue, right? This is just a protection mechanism, right? Because if your body's way too tired, your body's going to say, okay, well, I'm going to stop labor right now because we need to garner some energy. And under natural circumstances, if labor stopped, you would just be like, oh, okay, labor's done right now, and you'd go eat dinner. But in the hospital, you can't do that. So please feed your body in the best way that you can to keep your energy up. Okay, last thing to mention here. Not the last thing. A couple more things to mention. Sorry, there's a lot of things you can do to keep labor moving. And there's so many different reasons why it could be slowing. So one thing to mention is remember where you are in the labor. So if you are not at the point where you're 6 centimeters dilated, you're still technically in early labor, and the speed of labor can vary dramatically. And so this is not to say you're 4 centimeters, like, why are you even complaining? You know, it's going to take forever. But I just want you to know that if you're only 3 or 4 centimeters dilated, there is not a rush and there should not be a rush. If you are at 3 or 4 centimeters dilated, there is no such thing as failure to progress. You are just not in active labor yet. So this is a great thing to remember, especially depending on what doctors or nurses are saying to you about the speed of your labor. Please remember that this time will vary, and it's usually not until you're in 6 centimeters of labor where we really start to think about, or 6 centimeters dilated, where we really start to think about what's going on with the speed and the strength of contractions. Okay, I think one more thing that I'll say is remember the power of movement. Remember the power of being upright. Remember the power of lunging and laughing and staying active. When we walk into a hospital room, when we arrive at the hospital for labor, we see this huge bed and we assume we gotta go jump into it. No, you really don't. The bed is there, but I invite you to think of it as just one more prop. There are exercise balls. There are halls to walk in. There are people to lean on. There are lunges you can do. So the more you stay upright, active, moving, as it feels comfortable for you, of course, you're going to help gravity do some work here, right? So a lot of these contractions, they're started because the pressure of the baby's head on the pelvis, on the bottom of the uterus, in this pressure of gravity. If you go and sit back and lay down on your back, that pressure lessens and your contractions can lessen. So if you can sit up or even stand and move around, you're going to keep that pressure going and can keep that sense of labor moving. So I have given you so many different things that can relate to the speed and the progress of labor. And I'm really glad that we're sharing all these today because a lot of them aren't the defaults, right? The default is you go into a bed, turn on the TV, have the bright lights on, and talk with your neighbor and have no idea what's happening. All of these things are going to act to slow labor versus speed it up and versus get consistent, strong contractions. So please do be aware of how you set up your room and how you set up your hospital room. Be aware of the options that exist to help you move forward. And again, remember that if you're not at 6 centimeters, there is no problem with labor going slow or being intermittent. You are still completely normal, completely safe, and your baby is safe too. I would love to hear your feedback on this episode, your ideas, how this relates to a labor that you may have had, or any questions you have if you are currently pregnant. You can send me a message over on Instagram. I'm at BE Happy Healthy Human, or check it out at BeHappyHealthyHuman.com. I'm sending you so much love and light. Then that light in me very humbly bows to the same light in each one of you. Namaste, friends.